You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Blue, White and Yellow podcast from Leeds United Live, giving you the in-depth analysis on all the big talking points from Elland Road.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Blue, White and Yellow podcast with myself, Conor McGilligan, your podcast producer, and I am joined by Hal of Hearts Live. Hal, how are you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, how about yourself?
Good, man. Not too bad. Not too bad yet. And we're here to talk about Watford versus Leeds United. It feels like a huge game, doesn't it, Hal, this one?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you think about that gap that's appearing between Watford and the other teams who are in the relegation area and just above that, and Leeds, you know, I think they're 8 points ahead going into this game. So if Watford can get a win, it drags you closer. If they can't, you guys will be feeling pretty confident. So, yeah, huge game.
Yeah, definitely. And just, I guess, just touching on, I mean, this isn't part of the running order, Hal, but the game last night, I mean, we were watching it here, and I know a lot of Leeds fans were watching it around the world as well. I presume it was a similar feeling on the Watford side.
Yeah, big time. It was one of those ones where, I mean, from Watford point of view, we didn't want Everton to win. So that was kind of big. I actually asked Roy about it in the presser today, and he was saying that as well, and he wasn't sure whether he wanted a draw or the Burnley win. But at the end of the day, I think it sort of keeps everything nice and tight, and it doesn't allow Everton to escape, much like what I was saying about Leeds trying to escape. So, yeah, a fascinating game, but a decent result, I think, for Watford in the end.
Yeah, not too bad, really. I think we sort of wanted it the other way, really, because we were sort of thinking, well, it cuts Burnley completely off, but then you still look at Burnley's fixtures and it's all up in the air. It's all nervy times, Hal. But I mean, I guess obviously this is primarily a focus on Watford and consequently Leeds. But what have you made of the season so far, Hal, from a Watford perspective? Because I mean, the home record seems absolutely diabolical, but the away record is quite decent.
Yeah, certainly under Roy Hodgson, that's something that he's had plenty of success with, picking up those points. But it's at home where the trouble has been, even going way back. I remember there was a game against Southampton when Southampton were really struggling. I'm not even sure if they'd won a game at that point in the season, but they came to Vicarage Road and went away with all 3 points. And it happened with Norwich again, coming to Vicarage Road and getting those 3 points. So the home records let them down in big occasions across the season, which is partly why they're struggling so much. And they've still got Leeds this weekend, Everton and Burnley to come at Vicarage Road. So I think that will define. If they can sort that out, they'll have a shot. And if they can't, there's no hope.
Yeah, because Watford's away games, I mean, where the sort of, the decent records come, obviously, wins at Brighton and Villa and a draw at Manchester United, those sort of results, are you thinking, wow, the Watford's away form might keep them up. But then you look at the remaining away games, Hal, and they're not favourable, are they?
No, I mean, the big ones, that Man City game, and then obviously Liverpool, that's just been, those are kind of write-offs, even though you can't really afford to have write-offs, but you kind of have to hold your hands up. But yeah, as I say before, I think if they can get a few points on the road here and there, and then win those crucial games at home, like that's for me where it all lies. Like, if they can sort that out, as I said before, they might have a chance, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
What's the general vibe at Watford then, Hal? Is it one of optimism or are people resigned? I mean, what's, you feel when Roy's come in, there's quite a funny training video of him the other day where he put a nice little assist through a defence splitting pass, but it seems like the mood's been a little bit lifted since Cisco.
Obviously, when Roy came in, it was dreadful under Ranieri in that last period, as much as we all love Ranieri and he was a lovely guy, but football wasn't good, and Hodgson sorted that out immediately. Started getting a few clean sheets, got one against Burnley in his first game. I think some of the fans have felt a little bit, I think they sway, you know, so much, because at times, especially, you know, when you're down the bottom of the table, you're not winning a lot of games. So you feel hopeless at one moment. And then one good result, or even, you know, Everton losing last night, and suddenly the mood lifts a bit. So, yeah, sort of switching and changing a lot. But I think at the moment there's a little bit of optimism, just because, yeah, I think because of that game last night, it went in Watford's favour, and there's just enough time left to save this season. So I would say leaning towards optimistic, but not super confident.
Last time out then, Hal, 1-0 victory for Leeds at Elland Road, a Diego Llorente scrappy goal, nearly sort of cancelled out at the end. A lot of good fortune leads his way, really. A foul on Ilan Meslier after it was bundled in the back of the net, I believe it was by Kuka. What were your overriding memories of that game? From a personal perspective, I thought it was Leeds were sort of in control, but we weren't able to get that second and third, which really would have killed the game off.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those games where we'll look back and we'll think it passed Watford by. You know, like whenever a game ends that tight, you have to think like, oh, if we'd taken this chance or that chance. But as you say, Leeds had their opportunities, so I think it's kind of. There've been a few games like that, and at this point in the season, you've just got to go beyond them, you know, and look forward and look into what you can do, as opposed to looking back and reflecting on the near misses.
Definitely. And what have you made of Leeds so far this season, Hal? It's been a turbulent one for Leeds. Obviously, the departure of Marcelo Bielsa, which has been huge for the club. For you guys, managerial departures is sort of a frequent thing, isn't it? But what have you made of Leeds and just Leeds in general in the Premier League?
Yeah, well, obviously last season was sort of a breath of fresh air and it was fantastic. And this term I've had a lot of sympathy, I think, because obviously you've lost Bielsa. And I think for most Leeds fans, that was probably quite an emotional moment. Even if you felt it was time for him to go due to the form, I felt that would have still been pretty heartbreaking. And I think like injuries have really derailed your season. I think when I look at Leeds, you know, Bamford and Calvin Phillips haven't really been able to get going. When you take out two of your best players, it's always going to be difficult. My honest opinion is that I think Leeds will probably, you know, I think you'll be all right come the end of the season. I think you've got enough in there. And when you look at the turmoil that you've gone through this season, I think actually if you take stock, it has been not a good season, probably not a fun season. But the fact that you've maintained Premier League status, if you do, I think you have to say, well, actually, we've survived that, you know, and that's actually great for the development of this club, club trying to reestablish itself as one of the Premier League teams of the future.
It's interesting when you're talking about Premier League futures and establishing yourself, Hal, because I do look at Watford at the minute and I think I don't really know their position in terms of, you know, ownership and moving forward, because it seems like, you know, Watford will come up and then obviously, you know, they'll invariably go down. What's the plan at Watford, do we think? Is it going to be sort of if Watford are staying up this season, if they manage to, you know, sort of get away from the claws of relegation, do you think it's going to be heavy investment, or do you think it's going to be a sort of similar thing in the summer transfer window?
I think it'll be a similar thing. I think something that helps Watford is they very rarely overspend, you know, they don't splash on, you know, they don't make risky purchases. They sort of use their connections and they bring in a player here and there who maybe you've not heard of, but if they do well, like you look at Hassan Kamara, who came in January transfer market, he's doing brilliantly. Low risk. If he doesn't do well, like they don't put all their eggs in one basket, and that allows them to come down and take the hit, but then sort of reevaluate and often change manager and go again. So it's sort of, I know a lot of people criticize their willingness to change managers and sort of turn over lots of unheard of players, but I think like at the end of the day, they're not the biggest club in the world, but they're sort of always, you know, up and about challenging for Premier League football. So I don't think you can take too many swings at how things are run, in all honesty.
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree with that. What about the managerial change? Have Watford fans just become sort of desensitized to it now?
I think so. I think there's sort of like a gallows humour about it, and they're just accepting like five bad games in a row and this could be it. And I think the managers come in and they understand the situation. It's not like an unknown reputation. I think, you know, Hodgson, he sort of speaks about, you know, it's very much his just looking at from now until the end of the season, and you know, it's not about the future, it's about now. And I think all managers at Watford Football Club sort of have to exist under those perimeters.
I know we touched on it briefly earlier on, but in terms of Roy's impact, I mean, obviously you don't have to go into to massive depth, Hal, but has it, how significant has the change been?
I think it has been, there has been a change. I don't know, significant is an interesting word, but I think it has been, first of all, before he came in, they hadn't kept a league clean sheet all season. And as I mentioned before, on day one against Burnley, they managed that. And then they've done it, I think, it's twice more since then. So it's kind of like the defence has shored up. And that was a huge issue. You know, they just couldn't keep a clean sheet. And if you can't keep a clean sheet, it's very difficult to pick up points. So in terms of that, he sort of added the structure. And I think we were all expecting him to do that. It hasn't quite been... a massive change, but they've started to pick up points here and there, and the direction has improved. And I feel that had Hodgson come in maybe instead of Ranieri at that point, I think it was October, had he come in there, I think they would probably be, well, I think they would definitely be in a better situation. I don't know whether they'd be safer or not, but I think Hodgson has this experience, this know-how in the Premier League. He's done it so many times before. He knows how to keep a team afloat in the Premier League. So I think that's where they would be at had he come in sooner. But yeah, he's had a good impact. I think the best you could imagine if you're just hiring a manager at that point in the season. I think he's done all right.
Are there any players that are flourishing under his managerial spell at the minute, or is it sort of same?
It's not necessarily the same. I think somebody who's caught the eye recently is Cucho Hernandez, and he's sort of like quite a hard-working winger who can produce sort of the spectacular. He's not quite got the plaudits that Saar obviously gets and Emmanuel Dennis had at the start of the season, but he's sort of one who's, I think he's got 3 goals in his last 4 games now. So he's sort of come good at the right time. And another player, Loser, who sort of came in over the summer and sort of now seems to be sort of a bit of a fan favourite, and definitely Hodgson relies on him. He was off at AFCON in January, February, but he's back now and sort of been in the team regular. And when he plays, I think he's one to sort of keep an eye on. He's a very nice footballer in the middle of the park, keeps it simple, but sort of wins his tackles, makes his passes, good technical player. So I think those two are sort of guys who've had a good last sort of few months under Hodgson, yeah.
We've not seen, I mean, I believe he was injured for a period, wasn't he, in Ismaël Saar. But we've not seen as many headlines with Ismaël Saar and Emmanuel Dennis recently. You just spoke there about Cucho Hernandez, who's probably been headlining a little bit more, 3 goals in his last 4. But are those two off the boil at the minute, Hal, or is it, we're reading too much into that?
I think definitely for Ismaël Saar, his season's been really interrupted by injuries. And if you go through in the games he's played in, Watford have tend to fare better. And he missed a huge chunk, like pretty much missed all of Ranieri's reign, bar 1 or 2 games, you know. So he wasn't there for then. And then he went off to AFCON, recovered from injury midway through that tournament and managed to feature and actually helped Senegal win that. So that was great for him. Came back, played, I think, 1 or 2 games, picked up another injury. Returned now for Liverpool on the weekend, having gone away again. So it's sort of been real stop-start for him. But I don't think you could sort of doubt his quality or his form. It's just kind of been a disrupted season. As for Dennis, you could argue he's gone off the boil a little bit. He's no longer a first name on the team sheet, which again, like, he was really performing for Ranieri. But the problem was he was getting all the headlines, but Watford weren't winning games, you know, and it's kind of... Doesn't matter if you're the best player, and this isn't a criticism of him. He was the one player stepping up, but if you're not winning games, it doesn't really matter if you score every game. So he's sort of gone a little bit off the boil. Same with Josh King as well. He's not scored in a long time, so like those guys do need a goal. They do need to step up. Fortunately, like as I said, yeah, Cucho Hernandez has sort of been in form of late, and they've got João Pedro, who's sort of challenging as well. He's a good young player, but. I do think if they're gonna have a shot, they'll need sort of the best from Dennis and certainly the best from Saar in the coming weeks. Yeah,
is it fair to say this Watford side are top heavy, Hal?
It's a weird. They've got so many defenders. they've got a lot of defenders, but it's kind of like, yeah, and they've got a lot of options, but it's sort of like they're all about the same level. And then you would say like their star man, like it's obviously Saar, and then what we've seen from Dennis, like those are the guys who are the sort of the headline makers, if you will. But I'm not sure top heavy is quite the word, but I just think The problem is there's a lot of sort of players around the same level, all sort of fighting for the same sort of three centre mid positions or the two centre back positions, and you kind of just want two guys to sort of step up, put their hand up, and be like, all right, we're going to be the ones who start week in week out, and you can't drop me. And apart from Sissoko in the middle of the field like this season, I think at times everybody else has been droppable on occasions, and that's a bit of an issue.
Mm. From a Leeds fan perspective, Hal, where are Watford's weaknesses? Because obviously we've changed our style of play. We're a little bit more vertical now. It's a bit more compact, narrow and central. But it does look like Watford do attack down the wings. And from, you know, from what I saw last time when Watford were Elland Road, it seemed like when we were a little bit more expansive, we were able to get at Watford down the wings. Now, do you think we can expose Watford centrally, or do you think that'll work into your guys' hands?
I think you can expose them centrally. I think you've got, it'll be a midfield three, presumably, and you'll have Luzo, as I mentioned, there, and he'll try to screen a bit. And then you've got Sissoko, who I'm sure you know is quite box-to-box and sort of full of energy. And then there'll be one other player. It might be Cleverley or Kuchka, sort of they've been sharing it. And at times it can be that can be got at. And the centre-back pairing, yeah, again, like I talk about all these names. It's been Samir or Kafka or Cabaselli's coming recently. So I think there is vulnerability in the middle of the park if you can play in that style, like nice and quick vertical passes and just sort of ask questions of the defence. Because, yeah, all season long, even under Roy, there's still doubts linger, you know. So, yeah, I think there's vulnerability there. And I think on the left, in the left back position, Hassan Kamara has been really good, but maybe Kiko Femenia, I don't know if that's right. Will Rafinha be playing on that coming up against? Oh, he plays off the right. Yeah. So, yeah, there's vulnerability across Watford, because otherwise, you know, they wouldn't be where they are at the table. But I'm not sure. Under Hodgson, what's been good is there hasn't been like one repeated area of weakness, you know. So maybe that works in Watford's favour.
Interesting. Very interesting. Hal, I'm going to do what I do every single week and push you for a score prediction. I say it every week. Normally, there's a bit of pressure on you here, Hal, because normally the writers do extremely well with this, and I normally notoriously get it extremely wrong. So,
yeah, I've not thought about it until this very second, so I'm sort of going off instinct. I think Watford will scrape by 2-1. I think they'll finally get it right at home. And I say I think, it's kind of, I feel that they have to. So It's kind of now or never. And hopefully it's now, and it's 2-1 on the weekend to Watford. But I don't know what you think about that result.
I don't like it, Hal. But I think it's going to be, the reason I think it's going to be a really tough game is because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Hal, but is it it's a must win, isn't it, for Watford?
Essentially, you know, like there's, I think 8 games left now. So that'll be, after that, there'll be 7 games. I mean, I feel like if Leeds win it, you might as well celebrate. I think you'll be fine. And Watford, maybe they could get away with a draw because they've still got these games against Burnley and Everton to come. So it kind of, it's a must win if they want to keep this in their hands, you know, otherwise they're really reliant on Burnley and Everton sort of falling away, which, I mean, by the looks of it, Everton might well do, but Burnley, you know, Burnley could still do something. So yeah, I would say it's a must win. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining, Hal. I really appreciate it. And where can people find you? Because obviously we produce content, but you guys down there are going to be producing Leeds focused content as well.
Yeah, so the website's Hertfordshire Mercury or Hearts Live. You can find me on Twitter at HalFish95, and I'll be there on game day sort of reporting, and can follow the live blog and all updates and all the rest of it Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, good stuff, guys. Make sure you check that out. Hal, thanks for joining me, mate. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you in a bit.